Jesus. As we come, God, thank you for another opportunity, God, to sit at your feet. Another opportunity, God, to fellowship with my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, God, for being mindful of us. Thank you, God, for watching over us. Thank you, God, for forgiving us. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for trusting us. Thank you, God, for watching over us last night. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, God, for the activity of our lives. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Dear God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. As we get ready to sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit to hear what the word is about to say to the church. Now, God, to do what you call me to do and what I so love to do. Give me strength, Father, where I may be weak. Focus, God, where I may be distracted. Then for your congregation, God, pour your spirit out on this church, God, that each person can receive what you're about to do in their lives. God, I ask you now to do what you do best. Heal all hurts, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal all manner of diseases, God, in the name of Jesus. Bring reconciliation to your families now, not just the church, but individual homes. Go in and move. Reconcile mothers to fathers and fathers to sons, God. Reconcile children to their parents and reconcile church members to one another, God, so we can be more like you, God. We bind the spirit of distraction. We bind any spirit that tries to take us away from you. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. My personal prayer is always this one. That is, that the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight. Truly, O Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I do pray that the faithful of God say amen.
Amen.
Well, it's about that time. If you will, meet me now in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, and meet me at the first verse. Amen. All right. I know some of us, y'all like me, we've been out here too long, so if I take too long, I might go to sleep, amen. Good to see Sister Angie, amen. I see some of the Day family back. I see my brother back there. God bless you, sir. Good to see you today. Corey, Miss Parker, God bless you. Brother Bobby, welcome back home, man, amen. Welcome back home, man. He's still calling. I know I love you, though. Brother Bobby called me, and he'll say, Pastor, I'm checking on you. Every time I look, I hear your name out there now. Take it easy, Doc. Take it easy. to the wonderful choir, God bless you, musicians. I thank you, Mr. Cook. Wonderful job carrying the service. Beautiful job preaching last week. Let's give it good, Doc. Wonderful. Ushers on the door. We love you, Mr. Riley. Welcome back home. And then to our newest members from your pastor, God bless you. It's an honor to be your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man. When you come home? So I know you have a church on, but you're all the way around. Yes, Christ, I see you over there. Yeah. All right. Matthew's Gospel, first chapter. I'll read from the Authorized King James this morning, and it reads thusly. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus, and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Therefore, these powers are at work in him." Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on the platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. Then the disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. You may take your seat today as we prepare to talk about when death meets life.
Amen.
When death meets life. Samuel Johnson said, it matters not how a man dies, but how he lives. Job said it like this, man born of a woman, a few days before the trouble. Then Job asked the question, saying he asked the question, if a man die, shall he live? Jesus came in the New Testament and answered that question, standing when Martha was upset about the death of her brother Lazarus. She was worried, Brother Bernard, about the fact that her brother had died. But yet, Jesus answered Job's question. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If a man die, yet shall he live. Ain't that good? So Jesus, whatever you need, Jesus has. And because he lives, we also can live.
Amen.
If you believe, the Bible says you will never die. Which makes no sense, doesn't it? Because if you die twice, you will live forever. But if you die once, you're going to hell.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
If you die twice, you live forever. If you die once, you're going to hell. When you go to hell, you're still going to live forever. The difference is, you're going to be in heaven. That's all that. That's all that. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. So in this text, we have three characters, actually four. You have Herod, the patriarch. You have John the Baptist, who was more than a prophet. You have Herodias, who was nothing more than a New Testament Jezebel. And then you have her daughter, which is really unnamed. But in the historical context, they said her name is Salome, but no one knows particularly, so I'll leave her a name. John the Baptist is, Jesus said he was more than a prophet. Now, John the Baptist only preached for 1 year. John the Baptist only had one message, repent and be baptized. Ain't that right?
Oh, yeah.
John
yeah.
the Baptist was prophesied by Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Who said he would be one coming out the wilderness crying as a voice. In other words, he was introducing the Messiah or Jesus to come. John the Baptist also was so powerful at his birth, his mother and his father had what they call a Nazareth birth is what he had. He couldn't cut his hair. He couldn't drink no liquor. He couldn't go to the club. He couldn't party. He couldn't do any other thing because he was consecrated for the cause of the Lord. He was so powerful in his birth that an angel came to introduce to his parents who he was and only told them his name should be called John. Zechariah goes, who was a Levite, to stand in the temple to do the business of the temple, and then the angel appeared to him on his right hand and told him that you're going to have a son named John. He said, well, that don't mean nothing because he was an angel of the Lord. I can kind of believe that, right? But I also, why would it mean anything? It means something because his mother was barren. His mother could not have children, amen. And don't you know, I'm just trying to tell you, I don't want to rush and get there, but I don't care how much death you got around you. I don't care how much stuff not working. I don't care how much stuff is barren. If you let the Lord in there, life don't come. If it's a dark place, let the mighty hand of God come into your heart, and he will change everything around you. He'll back your enemies off of you. He'll heal your body. He'll do whatever it is you need to do. Zechariah can't talk because he doubted what the angel of the Lord said. And finally, when all the old folk got around, and this old lady was getting ready to have a baby, and then here come Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was pregnant with Jesus. They say that John the Baptist was one that the reason that Jesus said he was the greatest prophet there ever was, who only preached for a year. We're not greater than Isaiah. He was greater than Jeremiah. He was greater than all the ones that prophesied. But what made him the greatest was not only the introduction of Jesus, what made John the Baptist the greatest was, one thing was he was born with the power of the Holy Spirit. See, all the other prophets had to wait till the Spirit came upon them. You know what? John came with the Spirit. You know when, preacher, when he get the Spirit? He got the Spirit in his mother's womb. Everybody always talk about abortion. Is the baby alive? Is the baby not alive? The devil is alive. The baby is alive. Amen. John the Baptist, when Jesus came in the womb of his mother Mary, said John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb because he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. John comes on the scene and began to preach. And what I love about John the Baptist, he showed the church what we ought to be doing right now. That's why we got so much hell on earth, because we're living for them. The church is worried about tradition and making the word of God a matter of fact. The government is doing what it wants to do. Therefore, the people and the masses are dying. My question is, when death meets life, the church ought to be life. I understand Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but I also understand we ought to have people over somewhere in cages, amen, and nobody said nothing about that. Amen. And somebody said, well, the church need to back off, amen, because they're not involved in politics. The devil is alive. John came walking in the Spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah walked in the king's palace called Ahab, who was nothing but a crook, and his wife Jezebel was nothing but the devil, amen. And Elijah walked on the scene, walked in the palace and told the king, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. In other words, it ain't going to rain. So the Lord tell me to come back and tell you that it's going to rain. Amen. That's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist walked in the palace. Here he is in Mount Herod. We told Herod, you can have somebody who's not your wife. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me explain who Herod is. Herod ain't nothing but the devil too. He's a bloody man. He's an evil man. He was known for killing his wife. He was known for killing his children. Now this Herod is not the same Herod when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, it was Herod the Great, amen. The one who killed all the babies who was 2 years and under. The one who told the wise men, when you find out where he is, come tell me who he is. So I come, that was his dad. But this Herod here is Herod Antipas. He's just as dangerous as his daddy, because the apple don't fall far from the tree, baby. If you was born in a bad family and you don't know Christ, you still bad, amen. And even after you know Christ, you have to begin to check yourself, because all that mess that you grew up in, you suck to do it anyhow, so you need your Lord. Y'all hear me now? Yeah, yeah. So here he is, Herod Antipas. He's sitting up on the throne, and I can only imagine in my imagination, he calls John the Baptist in. But some funny things that happened in this text, because it's recorded in our Bible, Mark chapter 6, verse 14 through 26, same text I'm preaching from, and then also the Gospel of Luke, this is recorded, okay? Now, and it's funny in Luke that it says that when John the Baptist preached, that Herod heard him, and he almost believed. We keep that in your mind. Every time John preached, Herod liked to hear him preach. Yeah? And he was puzzled by John's preaching because he did not understand. Y'all get that?
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, he was the devil and his wife was the devil. Now, his wife was mad with John, let me tell you, because John walked in and Herod probably called him in, Brother Terry, to try to be political. Because John was a true prophet, and the people around started listening to what John was saying. John was saying, you can't sleep with nobody else's wife. John was saying, you need to get yourself right and get baptized and come to the Lord and live for him only. Amen. John was saying that he was so powerful that the Pharisees and the Sadducees went out to see John baptizing in the Jordan, Sister Sonia. And you know what happened, Brother Bob? When they got out there, John stopped. Now, look at that. Look at the saying. John is in the water baptized. The religious leaders came on that day, Brother Corey, and that was like the deacons and the bishops and the preachers and all them. They came, and John stopped them and said, talk to the hand. John said, you snakes, you brought a viper. What y'all come out here for? What y'all come out here living for? Amen. What y'all want with me? Amen. And John wasn't messing around. John said, I don't care what your title is. I don't care who you say you are. You need to get your life right. You just need to get your life right. Amen. Amen. So then he comes back to Herod sitting on the throne. And I can imagine him sitting on the throne because he thought he was a king. Now Herod the Great in Jesus' day was considered a king. He wasn't really a king, but he had favor with Pilate, so they called him king. Amen. But now Herod the Tetrarch, Antipas, who John stood before, this man was not a king. He was barely a prince, but he had a little say over God. real. Y'all hear me now? And he wanted to be called the king, but nobody wanted to call him a king because he deserved to be a king. Amen. So when his daddy died, the kingdom was divided up amongst Rome, and he just had a fourth portion to rule. Amen. But I just told you, his daddy was mad. So Philip and his other brother, Antipas, and they were trying to kill each other to get power. Y'all hear me now? And so what Herod did, he called John in and wanted to shut John's mouth because he had took his brother Philip's wife. Yeah, this better than have to have not. I tell you. He went on a trip and he saw his brother Philip's wife. Now, not the king Philip. I told you, King Philip also had a kingdom. This was his half-brother Philip, who really had no power, but he was still his brother. Leviticus 18:16 said a man ought not to sleep with his brother's wife. Amen. Let's come to the New Testament. That's the same way. That we think of blood brothers. Ain't that right? And in the Old Testament, it probably meant blood brothers. But if I shake this man's hand and we born into the kingdom of God, and I should not try to touch his wife. And then that led him to be locked up in a prison. Said that Herod had a prison called the Curious Head in the bottom. He locked John down in the prison. Amen. And for a while he kept him down there. And then they had a party. When they had the party, Herodias took her daughter, amen, and brought her out to dance for the old men and Herod. Amen. Go back to the government where I just told you. We keep talking about all these pedophiles in office and all these men who they won't say nothing to nobody. Bill Cosby, the only one that's locked up. Now they're trying to go after R. Kelly, but yet they drop the charges on everybody else. It ain't got to change. I'm trying to tell y'all that no old men, no old pedophiles was in there with this young girl. What was strange about that, that was rare, Brother Terry, for somebody of her stature to dance or take her clothes off. They would get women of the night. Do I have to go there with y'all? They usually got women of the night, Brother Penny, to come in and do the dance, amen. But see, the mama had a plan. And I'm going to tell you, either be good moms or some bad moms. Married men, and then men, look, if you talk about keeping mama happy, talk about your wife, you better keep mama happy, your mama and her mama. Somebody put the side in the can and they didn't think go get crazy. Don't tell them all your men. I know what I'm talking about. Mama had talked to that girl. But mama was mad because John had told Herod that this is not your wife. And if you look at the scripture, it never said she was his wife. The Bible said she was the wife of Philip. Because the scripture is written by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. And the Holy Ghost don't lie. Why? Y'all ready with me now? Yeah. All right. So now, here it is. This man is wanting John to bow down. John tells him, no, that's not your wife, and you're doing it wrong. So wrong, so short, he takes John, and he locks John in the prison. And here it is. I got to work with you a little bit. I got to go. Two things that happen. Death is meeting life. You hear me? Because John is all about the law. John said, I'm not even worthy to untie this man's shoes who gonna come.
That's right.
I'm baptizing with water. But when he comes, he gonna baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You understand? This man has some power. This is what John knows. This is what John believes. When Jesus shows up on the scene, John is baptized. He sees Jesus with the Lord. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Y'all hear me? So he knew who Jesus was, but he was holding on. So now you see the works of John, and you see the guilty conscience of Herod. So, well, Pastor, how can Herod be guilty? You just said he was evil and he was mean. But I just told you that when John preached, he heard it. Y'all hear me? But why couldn't he do what he was supposed to do? Go back in your own time, because I don't have time. Look at Matthew 13. In the beginning of Matthew 13, it talks about the different souls. It talks about when I'm standing up here preaching this word, somebody's heart is soft, and when I say it, the Holy Spirit pushes it down in your heart,
and y'all hear it, and y'all decide to do it, and some of y'all gonna do it. When that other y'all, who y'all gonna hear it, y'all gonna get joyful, but when you leave out here, all the problems of the world gonna come, you gonna forget that God is your son, and then you gonna give it up, and the devil gonna come and snatch your joy, and the word is planted in your heart. Yeah. Then you got other folk who they get hard-hearted, amen. Their heart so hard, I can stand on top of you with a jackhammer, amen. And you wanna hold in your heart, and try to throw it down in there, you spin it back up, cause you can't receive it. Herod was a double-minded man. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Start talking to somebody one day in this way, the next day in that way. Amen. They serve the Lord this day, they can't serve the Lord that day. They go to work this day, but they're too tired to go to work that day. They ain't church lifting up on their hand that day, but they can't go to church this day. They'll preach one day, too tired to preach the next day. Same with the choir one day, and now the choir ain't saying we don't lie.
Instead of listening to John and serving the Lord, he said, no,
because people around me, I'm not going to kill John, but I'm going to lock him up. But know his mama's still in the background. I'm going to wrap it up, mama in the background.
Yeah.
Harold's birthday coming. And men don't ever think that women don't know you. They know us, y'all hear me? They know we going to do or say something before we even do it, amen.
Yeah.
She knew his birthday was coming. She knew he liked to take a nip or two every now and again. She knew he was a show-off full of pride in front of his boy. And so she sent that young girl in there. Y'all hear me? And that girl walked up in there to get in the truck a little bit, amen. I can find no truck, amen. For all the sinners, I still got the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She took it straight to the Players Club, amen. And she can be in the truck right now, amen. And that brother said, hey, I give you everybody. And I give you anything that you want, amen. That Herod's brother-in-law, he was stationed in the house with him. Let me step over here and say this. Not only was a believer in the house of heaven, somebody else on his staff also knew who Jesus was and believed in Jesus. And you know they was whispering and talking. Have you ever been on your job and you was worried about the job, didn't want to go to work that day, and you mess around and run into another Christian on the job and begin talking about the goodness of the Lord, and by the time you look at the clock 45 minutes go, because you consumed in what God was saying, God strategically fixed it so Herod every now and then heard the people talking about Jesus. And I'm pretty sure he was shrewd. He sent some folk out to see what Jesus was doing. Now, gone here, dear. Not even Herod got worried, but the boys got worried about him. Matthew chapter 11, John is in prison. Jesus ain't come to visit him yet. The pastor ain't came by to see him. He wants to know what's going on. He said, he took two of the disciples. He said, I want y'all to go out and find Jesus and ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? Oh, y'all be the same thing. Y'all say it like this. I thought you was a Christian. You supposed to be a preacher. I thought you was a deacon. Ain't nobody come and saw me yet. Amen. You know what Jesus did? Bible says when John's head got chopped off, the disciples went out and got his body and took it up. And they went, they put their lives in danger. And then Brother Jesus went away in a secluded place and he prayed. Folk gonna die in your family.
Yeah.
Let me say it to you. Folk gonna die in your family.
Yes.
Friends gonna die.
Amen.
Sooner or later we gonna die.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
Let's make sure you're in God's hand.
Amen.
When they went, Jesus went on and they got his body. Jesus went to a place by himself, and then Jesus kept on doing ministry. If somebody die, God leaves you here. You still got work to do.
Amen.
And the manner in which you suffer is the manner of your ministry. The manner in which you suffer is the manner of your ministry. If you sick, go to somebody on dialysis. They can tell you everything about dialysis. They can just about put their own self on the machine, take their self off the machine. They can tell you what to eat. They can tell you what not to eat. Going through diabetes, talk to somebody who really knows about their body and check. They can tell you about taking shots. They can tell you about taking pills, amen. People who just got married, go to the old folk been married a long time. Don't go to Uncle So-and-so who had 4 or 5 wives. Go to somebody who's been married for a while, tried and true, hear me? And listen to what they say. Now let me go back to this one, and I'm gone. I want the deacons to get ready to come. I'm done. I promise y'all, I told you I'm done. But I want y'all to listen to this one. Don't get in the church. This is for y'all. You're in the church. Some folk in the church, two or three reasons. Some folk in the church, they love the Lord. They do. They love the Lord. They still immature in God. Amen. And so they need a little more help. But you can't follow them yet because they need to follow somebody. You hear me? But you need to get in and study and find out what God wants you to do. Then you got a crowd there in here. They're not anointed in the church. They're appointed by the devil in the church. And they sit and take positions in the church, but they won't do the work of the church. So, well, Pastor, how I know who they are? Because they don't have love. They don't have compassion, and they don't have mercy. Now listen to that, man. Hook up with folks who have love, compassion, and mercy. And then, those are the type of people who will love you. You know this big hall. They'll love you through your mess, but they ain't gonna let you stay in your mess.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Y'all all right? And then it's that other crowd, they just don't know what's going on. They don't mind. They in here 1 minute, and they're after that. They definitely don't follow them. They'll be all over the place. All right? Let's get ready to come for communion. Once you get geared up for communion. Communion is when we remember what the Lord Jesus has done.